Please open your Bible. All right. Open your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I sure enjoyed that song. That was very delightful. I don't know that I've ever heard that song before, and that was very, very delightful. Thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as soon as you find 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to ask you to hold to that place in your Bible because we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in a few moments, but we're actually going to begin in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to use quite a bit of scripture this morning. You might say what I'm going to try to present to you, at least the first 10 minutes or so. You might say it's more like a Bible study. But we're not going to turn to all the passages. I'm just going to read some of them. But you're going to, if you would, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And then in a few moments, we'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I guess it'd be good if I turned there also. I'm going to begin reading. In fact, I'm just going to read, I think it's one verse here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by," and notice this phrase, "by them that have preached the gospel unto you," and notice especially this phrase, this portion of the phrase, "with the Holy Ghost." Them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Did you notice that phrase, "preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost"? Preached with the Holy Ghost. Them that preached with the Holy Ghost. Now, whoever them were, and I know that's not proper English, but you know the point I'm trying to make. Whoever them were, they preached with the Holy Ghost. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us if they were tall or short, but it tells us they preached with the Holy Ghost. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us if they were educated or illiterate, but it tells us they preached with the Holy Ghost. I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us if they were from the north or the south, but the Bible tells us they preached with the Holy Ghost. I don't know if they were from the country or the city. I don't know if they were homegrown or immigrants. I don't know if they were pleasing to look upon or good looking, as we would say today, or if instead they looked more like John Francis looks. I don't know which, but I know this: they preached with the Holy Ghost. Let's look and see what the Bible says about preaching with the Holy Ghost. The first time it's mentioned in the Bible, the first time the Bible mentions preaching with the Holy Ghost, and you don't need to turn there because I'm just going to read it quickly, but it's in Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." In Luke chapter 4, it's confirmed that that passage in Isaiah was speaking of Jesus. Remember when Jesus came back to Nazareth, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood to read, and they handed him the book of Isaiah. And he unscrolled the book of Isaiah to chapter 61, and he read verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Then he went on to say, this day, this scripture, is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? The reason the Spirit of God was upon Jesus, was it because Jesus is God? That's not what this verse says. The reason the Spirit of God was upon Jesus, was it because he's the Son of God? That's not what this verse says. The reason that the Spirit of God was upon Jesus, was it because he's perfect? Because he's deity? Because he's eternal? Because he's the Creator? Because he always has been and always will be? Because he's the same yesterday and today? Well, all of that is true, but that's not what this verse says. This verse says the Spirit of God was upon Jesus because he had been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Just like you do every Saturday and every Sunday. Even Jesus Christ needed the Spirit's help to preach the gospel. If Jesus Christ needed the Spirit's help to preach the gospel, you and I need it this weekend. In Matthew chapter 4, you don't need to turn there, but we read that from that time Jesus began to preach. That's in Matthew chapter 4, But before chapter 4, you have chapter 3. And in chapter 3 at verse 6, we read, at his baptism, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove upon him. Before we read the first time that Jesus preached, we read the Spirit of God descended upon him. Now, I know you're taking your homiletics classes or your speech classes or both, and I hope you pass, but I want to ask you this question this morning. Has the Spirit of God descended upon you? I know you're learning to prepare your outlines, and I hope you're thorough in your research as you do so. But I want to ask you a question this morning. As you're preparing your outline, has the Spirit of God descended upon you? I know you're practicing your presentations. I've done it many, many times. I remember standing in front of a mirror and feeling goofy, but practicing, even practicing my gestures. And I know you're doing that, and I hope you're diligent about it. But as you practice, may I ask you a question this morning? Has the Spirit of God descended upon you? Yes, I know that the Spirit of God came to live within you when you got saved. But a whole separate issue is, has the Spirit of God descended upon you? When you stand to preach on your bus, does the Spirit of God descend upon you? When you stand to teach those little boys and girls in the Sunday school class this coming Sunday morning, will the Spirit of God descend upon you? When you stand to preach in your teen church or your junior church or your primary church, does the Spirit of God descend upon you? When you preach to one or two or three on the sidewalk or in a living room or at the bus stop or in the park or on the basketball court, does the Spirit of God descend upon you? Would you turn to 1 Peter chapter 3? 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would. Turn over just a couple of pages to chapter 3. And I'm going to begin with verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Of course, that was on the cross. The just for the unjust, Christ for us. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened, which means to be made alive. Jesus Christ, after he was put to death in the flesh, was quickened or made alive by the Spirit. And notice that Spirit is capital S, the Holy Spirit. By which means by the Holy Spirit, also he, Jesus, went and preached unto the spirits in prison. By which, Even Jesus Christ, even the risen Savior, even the one who had conquered death and the grave, the one that had conquered sin, the one that had paid for our salvation, the one that became the sacrificial lamb, the once and for all sacrifice, even the risen Savior could not or did not preach by himself. He preached by or with the Holy Ghost. Now would you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I want to begin with verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So it's saying that after they tried with their own wisdom to know God, they couldn't. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now if you would look in chapter 2 and look at verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with the excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. This college was not started so you could be smart. This college was not started just so that you could have a diploma, or not even started just so you could have an education. Over and over and over, for over 14 years, I sat in the administrative meetings week after week after week, every week for 14 years. I sat in those administrative meetings and I heard the man who started this college, Brother Hiles, I heard him say over and over and over as we would try to make a decision, what should we do about this and what should we do here and what should we add here and what should we change here and what should we adjust here? I heard him say over and over and over, the reason I started Hiles Anderson College was to put fire in the preacher boys. I can almost hear his voice in my ears this moment as those words echo through the deepest chambers of my heart, to put fire in the preacher boys. To put fire in the preacher boys. I guess I heard him say it 500 or 600 or 700 times in the 14 years, to put fire in the preacher boys. In Matthew chapter 3, Matthew recorded that John the Baptist said, when Jesus comes, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Luke also recorded those same words in Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist saying, when Jesus comes, He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Luke also wrote in Acts chapter 2, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The writer of the book of Hebrews wrote in chapter 1 that God maketh His ministers a flame of fire. In the book of Acts, when Peter preached, it was with the Holy Ghost, chapter 4, verse 8. When Peter and John preached with boldness, it was with the Holy Ghost, chapter 4, verse 31. When Barnabas preached in Antioch and much people was added unto the Lord, it was with the Holy Ghost, chapter 11, verse 24. When Agabus the prophet preached, it was with the Holy Ghost, chapter 11, verse 28. When Barnabas and Saul preached, it was with the Holy Ghost, chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. When Paul the apostle preached, it was with the Holy Ghost, chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. When Jonathan Edwards preached his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, and people would fall out of their chairs and hold on to the pillars and ask of the church and ask God to not let them die and go to hell, it was with the Holy Ghost. When John Wesley preached, Ye Must Be Born Again, over 3,000 times, and they asked him one day, Mr. Wesley, why do you preach Ye Must Be Born Again? You've preached it over 3,000 times. And his answer was, because ye must be born again. He did it with the Holy Ghost. When George Whitefield preached and thousands came to hear him, sometimes as many as 20,000 people would come to hear him in an outdoor situation, he preached with the Holy Ghost. When Charles G. Finney preached and thousands were saved, he did it with the Holy Ghost. When Charles Haddon Spurgeon preached at the tabernacle there, the Spurgeon Tabernacle in London, and they had to hand out tickets because so many people tried to cram into that 5,000-seat auditorium week after week, Sunday morning and Sunday night, he preached with the Holy Ghost. When D.L. Moody swept across America and England and brought to Europe and brought two different continents back to God, he did it with the Holy Ghost. When Billy Sunday went around this country setting up tabernacle after tabernacle after tabernacle and preaching, and thousands, in fact, over 1 million people walked the aisle and got saved under his preaching, he preached with the Holy Ghost. When J. Frank Norris pastored the First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas, and it averaged over 4,000 in Sunday school, and at the same time pastored the Temple Baptist Church in Detroit, Michigan, no planes back then, rode a train from Detroit to Fort Worth and from Fort Worth to Detroit back and forth every week, preaching in both places, he preached with the Holy Ghost. When R.G. Lee preached Payday Someday, over 1,275 times he preached that famous sermon, Payday Someday. In fact, in his 88th year, he called Brother Hiles. They were good friends. And he said, Brother Hiles, my 89th birthday is on a Sunday. You told me if I ever needed anything, I could call you. Would you mind if I came to your church on my birthday and preached Payday Someday? And he did, and when he preached Payday Someday that morning, and some of us were there that morning, 89 people got saved that morning. Brother Hiles asked him to come back the next year and preach on his 90th birthday. He preached Payday Someday, and 90 people got saved that day. Brother Hiles asked him to come back the next year and preach again the week of his birthday. On his 91st birthday, 91 people got saved that morning. He did it with the Holy Ghost. John R. Rice, Lee Robertson, Tom Malone, Curtis Hudson, they all preached with the Holy Ghost. When Brother Hiles preached his well-known sermon, Fresh Oil, and thousands of preachers all across America had their lives transformed, he did it with the Holy Ghost. When Rick Martin stands every Sunday morning and preaches to over 4,000 people in his church in the Philippines, he does it with the Holy Ghost. When Kevin Wynn stands every Sunday morning and preaches to that auditorium that seats 9,000 people that they pack out twice on Sunday morning, he does it with the Holy Ghost. When Eddie Lapina or Abdel Judah or Andy Gomez or John Francis comes from the church out here to preach for us in chapel, they preach with the Holy Ghost. When Brother Wilkerson is sitting on a plane next to the coach of the Iowa University of Iowa basketball team, and he preaches to one sitting there on the plane, as he told us this week, and the man's life is totally transformed. He gets saved. He goes home. He wins his wife to the Lord. They take their kids. They put them in a Christian school, and his entire life is radically transformed because one man preached one sermon to one man sitting next to him on the plane. It's because he does it with the Holy Ghost. It's not because he's tall. It's not because he's intelligent, even though he is. It's not because he's handsome, even though he is. It's not because he's a great administrator, even though he is. It's not because he's charming, even though he is. He could charm a grizzly bear away from his lunch. He could. I've yet to meet the person that dislikes John Wilkerson. But it's because he does it with the Holy Ghost. In his autobiography, Charles G. Finney explained he preached with the Holy Ghost. In his journals, George Whitefield explained that he preached with the Holy Ghost. In his journal, Jonathan Edwards explained he preached with the Holy Ghost. When John Pollock wrote his book, John Wesley, the Servant of God, he explained that he preached with the Holy Ghost. When Louis Etzminger wrote his book, The J. Frank Norris That I Know, he explained that he preached with the Holy Ghost. When R.A. Torrey wrote his book, The Holy Spirit, or his book, Baptism of the Holy Spirit, or his book, God's Power, or his book, How to Obtain Fullness of Power, he explained that it was with the Holy Ghost. When John Rice wrote his books, The Power of Pentecost, The Soul Winner's Fire, Filled with the Holy Spirit, How Great Soul Winners Were Filled with the Holy Spirit, he explains it was with the Holy Ghost. When Brother Howes wrote his book, Meet the Holy Spirit, he explained it was with the Holy Ghost. When Roger Martin wrote his book on R.A. Torrey, Apostle of Certainty, he explained it was with the Holy Ghost. When R.A. Torrey was pastoring the Great Moody Church in Chicago, they were still running wagons around the city, picking up boys and girls just like you run buses every week. And also, R.A. Torrey had a ministry he called the Midnight Sweep. They would go out in Chicago at midnight on a Saturday night, and they would get anybody they could find on the street, and you can imagine what kind of people they found on the street at midnight in Chicago, and they would bring them into a big auditorium and preach, and thousands of them would get saved. He did it with the Holy Ghost. When Fred Sanders wrote his book, How God Used R.A. Torrey, he explained it was with the Holy Ghost. When Viola Walden wrote her book about John R. Rice, the captain of our team, she explains it was with the Holy Ghost. When Elijah Brown's book was written, The Real Billy Sunday, he explained it was with the Holy Ghost. When I was your age and younger in high school and college, my heart was often stirred and burned and tears flowed as I heard Johnny Pope preach with the Holy Ghost. As I heard R.G. Lee preach Payday Someday with the Holy Ghost. As I had heard Lester Roloff preach with the Holy Ghost. As I heard Jim Vineyard preach with the Holy Ghost. As I heard Russell Anderson preach with the Holy Ghost. And Dr. Evans with the Holy Ghost. And Brother Hiles with the Holy Ghost. And Roy Westmoreland with the Holy Ghost. I remember my freshman year. I don't remember the exact date. I know it was late in the fall of my freshman year. I know it was late in the fall because it was a cold night. It was about 33, 34 degrees. There was a heavy mist in the air. It wasn't exactly raining. It was more than fog. There was a heavy mist. And I stopped on 24th place. No, 22nd. On 22nd place by Washtenaw, a couple of streetlights down from the corner there. And my soul winning partner, my bus calling partner, Greg Doan, was with me. And I turned to Greg and I said, Greg, there's something wrong here on our bus route. He said, what do you mean something's wrong? And I said, well, didn't you notice? We witnessed 10 adults today and not one of them got saved. And when I said that, Greg Doan looked at me. He was much shorter than me, if you can believe anybody's that short. But he looked up at me and he said, I can tell you what's wrong. And I said, what? He said, we need the power of God on this bus route. And it was as if somebody had opened a little knife and just stuck it right there. That week, I heard that some upperclassmen, I was just a freshman, but I heard that some upperclassmen were having a prayer meeting. I'm sorry, I don't remember where the prayer meeting took place. Somewhere on one of the campuses. I don't remember who all was there. I don't remember if there was a staff or faculty member there overseeing it or not. I don't remember who all was in the prayer meeting, but I remember in that prayer meeting that they said they were going to pray for the Holy Spirit to come. They were going to pray for the Holy Spirit. Nothing spooky happened in the prayer meeting. I remember some people sounding earnest as they prayed. I remember some people weeping as they prayed. I honestly don't remember if I prayed or not. But I remember being in the prayer meeting. The next Saturday, we went back to our bus route. We parked our car on 26th Street on the south end of the projects that were there at the time. I don't know if they're still there or not, there now or not. But we got out of our car, and when we got out of the car, Greg Doan and I got out of the car, down about a block away, down through the middle of the projects, there was a young man standing there holding the door open and looking towards where I always park my car every Saturday morning. And when I got out of the car, he was doing like this. And I didn't see him, but Greg Doan said, "Hey, look, you see that guy? I think he wants us." And we walked up there, and he was doing like this. And when we got there, he opened the door, and he said, "We've been waiting on you. Come in." And there were three young men in their early 20s. This man was 19. And the three young men were sitting on the coffee table. And he said to me, "Sit down there on the couch." And I sat on the couch, and he said, "We've been waiting for you to get here. We want to know how to go to heaven." They all four got saved, and all four rode the bus the next morning and got baptized. Later that afternoon, I was walking down Cermak between California and Washtenaw, and I passed a pool hall. The door next to the pool hall led to some stairs that went upstairs to an apartment. The door was open, and as I walked by, I heard someone holler, "Hey!" And I stopped, and I looked up the stairs, and it was dimly lit. I could barely see. There was a little boy standing up there, and he said, "Hey, come up here, come up here." And Greg and I went up the stairs, and when we got there, I recognized him. He was a little 8-year-old boy, the only one that we had won to Christ the week before. We had witnessed it, 10 adults. None of them got saved, but this little boy had gotten saved. And he said, "My mother's sitting at the kitchen table. I told her what you told me last week. Now she wants you to tell her, and she's been waiting for you to get here." She got saved. Now, I've never had this happen before, but she got up out of the chair. She went around the other side of the table. She picked her 8-year-old son up. She hugged him in her arms like this. She danced around in a circle in the kitchen and was weeping and crying. She came the next morning. She got baptized. How tall you are, where you came from, how intelligent you are, how charming you are, none of that is the main issue. There's just one issue. Them that preached with the Holy Ghost. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed.